Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and Pam, and Alex. How you doing, bud?
Good.
All right. We are covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Give us a listen at lydiamediallc.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
Today's show is brought to you by UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, serving residential and commercial customers with new installations and repairs. Call today and schedule your oil and gas boiler cleanings at 754-4556. UPI, the best plumbers around. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it at 6 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
It sure does. And we're going to have a little party later on in this show.
Yeah, we are.
For Tasting Tales, we're going to be sampling the Baxter Brewing Lewiston Strong Lager with our guest. Justin Morin, how are you?
Hey, everybody.
He's like, what?
It's spooky
time. Happy Halloween.
It's our spooky Halloween episode, and Justin is our resident expert on all things spooky and horrific.
I try.
Yay!
I try. I like to be the spooky and horrific one.
Excellent.
I'm glad I don't have that title.
No.
Oh, I'll take it.
I'm sure I do to someone. But...
It's on his business card.
Oh, yes.
You have business cards?
Oh, I wish.
We have all kinds of fun stuff coming up, including a game that Sarah has for us. I have no idea what it is, but we're going to play.
Justin and I have been plotting.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a few.
Sounds good.
Boy. Sounds scary.
All right.
Spooky. It sounds fun.
It's going to be fun.
Before we get to all of that, let's take a look at some headlines for Thursday, October 31st.
The Advertiser Democrat reports that the Oxford County Jail will reopen by the middle of December. The jail was closed for 9 months for HVAC upgrades. It has been used as a holding cell since March, and the county has been paying to house inmates at 4 jails in the state.
The Lewiston-Auburn CityLink transportation system is offering free fares on Election Day for riders heading to polling places in the Twin Cities. For more information, search CityLink Lewiston-Auburn Transit on Facebook.
Hannaford Supermarkets is recalling its private brand original seafood salad purchased from the deli department at all stores. Purchases between Saturday, October 26th and Tuesday, October 29th could be missing the soy allergen specifications on its label. For more information, contact your local Hannaford or Hannaford Consumer Relations at 1-800-213-9040.
And Peter Geiger will carry on his tradition of handing out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of king-size candy bars on Halloween, that's today. Mm-hmm. Last year, Geiger handed out 7,000 bars, and this year he has over 8,500. He'll be on the Geiger campus at 70 Mount Hope Avenue in Lewiston.
Weather.
With Hour. Alex.
You gotta get closer. Hour.
People are gonna love this forecast, Alex.
Yep, give it to them.
Sunny today with a high of 74 and a low of 50. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 72 and sunny throughout the week and with high temps in the high 40s to low 50s.
That's fabulous.
Nailed it. He's so good.
He's the best weatherman.
We do have him on the payroll, don't we, Pam?
Yes, so. Trust me, he gets paid.
In sports, the LA Dodgers won the World Series in 5 games with a 7-6 win over the New York Yankees last night. Hey, sorry, Betsy Sibley.
Shots fired.
The Yanks lose. The Yanks lose.
It was glorious.
Yeah.
The Yankees were up 5-0 in the 5th inning, and then just fell apart defensively.
The wheels came off.
It was so good.
I started watching the comeback series for the Red Sox Netflix last night because I couldn't function.
Shut
and
down.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously it's about the rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox. So that is great news.
That was a magical time of year. That's when I realized I didn't care about sports anymore. after that series, I'm like, it can never get better than this. Right. I will never experience anything in sports better than this. So I started just not caring. It was the ultimate sports gasm in 2004 when the Sox beat the Yankees.
That was amazing.
Yeah. The Celtics, well, there goes the undefeated season.
Yeah, but it was close.
It was. The Celtics lost to the Indiana Pacers 135-132 in overtime. Boston will visit the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow night.
The Bruins will visit the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7.
Maybe they'll score a goal. Bates College women's soccer lost to Colby 2-1.
CMCC men's basketball lost to UMaine Farmington 98-81. I have to have a bit of joy and a bit of sadness because CMCC is our team here, but UMaine Farmington Beavers.
That was a masterful performance.
Thank you. Thank you.
Justin, as a man of the theater, how would you rate that?
Oh, that was 10 out of 10. Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go.
Now you have to tell our listeners why you're a fan of UMaine Farmington.
Because my son is a Beaver. He goes to UMaine Farmington.
There you go.
I have to root for both teams. I'm just happy that they all had a good game.
Yes. We just want everyone to have fun. That's all. The May Nordiques visit the Danbury Hat Tricks tomorrow and Saturday.
And the NA3 Nordiques will host the Manchester Junior Mountain Kings tomorrow and Saturday at the Coliseum in Lewiston.
Full slate of football games on Sunday, and if you don't like football, the Patriots are visiting the Tennessee Titans.
If you want to just see people running up and down a field.
They play something that looks like it
with
should
a ball.
Be football.
Yeah, do. You could just watch them.
The Patriots visit the Tennessee Titans on Sunday afternoon.
We've got high school playoffs in boys soccer, a Class A North quarterfinals. It was number 2 Lewiston over number 7 Bangor, 7-0.
That's a trouncing.
That's a trouncing right there. And Edward Little beat Mount Ararat. They're rated number 5 over Mount Ararat's number 4. They beat them 1-0 in double overtime.
Awesome. So we had a blowout and we had a close game.
Yeah.
And both of our
and
teams
both
won.
Both of our teams. The Twin Cities win.
How awesome
I love
is
it.
That?
Yeah.
That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the podcast segment that is absolutely
sweeping.
Threw you a curveball.
Yeah,
the
you
Twin
did.
Cities. It's time for famous people birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. It's famous people birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for October the 31st, shall we?
Yes.
Alrighty then. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
There's so many.
Yeah, word to your mother. Vanilla Ice
Ron
is
Van
57
ice,
today.
Ice, baby.
There you
ding,
go.
Ding,
yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. Here we are. Rob Van Winkle. Hard to believe he changed his name.
Why
for show
you?
Business.
It's amazing.
I mean, that's catchy.
It is catchy.
It is catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys is 58 today.
Oh.
Any Beastie Boys fans in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I wonder if he got any sleep.
Well, depends on whether
in
or
Brooklyn?
Not.
Yeah.
Is he in Brooklyn?
Are they in Brooklyn?
I don't know.
Rob Schneider is 61 years old today.
I just picture his face and it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
The making copies.
Yep, he's that guy.
See, I love the hot chick where he's like, my name is Jessica. It's me, Jessica. Like, it's so funny. Come on, watch that movie.
I haven't
Come
seen
on.
It. I have to see
he's,
it.
Again. It's genius.
Oh, so funny.
He was also Deuce Bigelow,
yeah.
Male
oh,
gigolo.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good
he's
one.
In a, right. He's in a lot of Adam Sandler's movies.
I was going to say, what was the Adam Sandler one with Grown Ups?
Yep. He's also in 50 First Dates, and he's hilarious in that
that's
one.
That's a good one,
great
too.
Great character actor.
So, yeah. Yep.
So I do love Elle King, which is his daughter.
Oh, yeah, that's his daughter.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Great singer, yeah.
Larry Mullen Jr. of Sarah's favorite band, U2, is 63 years old today. Oh, did I get that wrong?
Mm-hmm. Do you always Sorry. Have the spooky laugh?
Yes, that's his laugh.
Especially in the mornings.
Yes. I love it.
That's
the
yes. Yeah. That is not an act.
Larry has received 22 Grammy Awards and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of U2 in 2016 and was ranked the 96th greatest drummer of all time.
Wow.
I mean, when you say 96, it doesn't sound great, but...
But so many drummers.
It is.
A lot of drummers.
Really impressive.
I mean, he's in there with probably some pretty amazing talent. Like, I would put Stuart Copeland right in there, and that's, like, that's my standard for drummers, is Stuart Copeland of the Police. He's amazing.
Legendary journalist Jane Pauley.
Oh!
is 74 years old today.
I remember her.
Yeah, she took over for Barbara Walters on the NBC Morning Show Today.
Yep. She had bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. So even more impressive to be able to stabilize something like that and be able to be successful and in the public eye.
Right. Like, that's even more difficult. Yeah, sure. You're 100%. This is a situation where I wouldn't even have known that. Like, I've never seen any reporting about her being, you know, in the public eye in that way. So it's pretty impressive. She's also married to Gary Trudeau, who writes the political cartoon Doonesbury. Remember that? My dad used to love that cartoon.
And they've been married for a long time, too. I think since the 80s.
Yeah.
Brian Doyle Murray is 79 years old today.
Groundhog's Day.
Yes. He's the mayor, right?
He's the mayor. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Bill Murray's character saves his life when he's choking in the restaurant.
That's right.
Remember?
He's also Bill Murray's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
They do kind of look alike.
He was in Caddyshack.
Scrooge.
Along with Bill Murray. He was in Scrooge along with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2.
He's done a lot of movies.
He was the evil boss in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's right. Oh,
yeah. Oh, that guy, he got kidnapped by...
You're going to jail. That's what he says.
Yeah, that was Cousin perfect.
Eddie. Thank you.
Was it Cousin Eddie?
Yes.
Yeah, they kidnapped him.
Oh, man.
Oh, when rounding out FPBs, unless there are any objections.
None. None whatsoever when this man's name is mentioned.
Okay. Dan Rather is 93 years old today.
Wasn't he at one time considered the most trusted man in America?
I don't know if he's ever lost that distinction.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. He's a significant part of my childhood, watching him every night on the 6 o'clock news, like every single night. He was like a member of our family.
He is a household name.
Yeah. He's been there for a lot of stuff.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He covered the Kennedy assassination. He covered Watergate, the Gulf War, the falling of the Berlin Wall.
He's been there for all of it. And not just there, but like a stable, steady presence during all of it, too. Right. Like, you never got the impression that anything ruffled Dan Rather's feathers. Like, I'm sure internally he probably was like, what the heck's happening? The world's falling apart. But like, you would never have known it from his face or the way he presented the news to America. Like, it was just always just steady. A treasure.
Yeah.
We'll
if you want to know the real Dan Rather, just go to his Twitter account.
I love his Twitter. I love it.
He does not hold back on his Twitter account.
I think like Jane Pauley, there's probably a certain level of persona that you have to maintain continue to have like the respect of people. But like, now that he's 93, he's not like that get off my lawn kind of old man ranting, but it's some poignant and well thought out points on his Twitter.
Mm-hmm. He's seen it all. So he's like, all right, people, come on.
There's no way that anybody can come at Dan Rather and be like, you have no perspective on this, because they're 100% that he does. Like, for sure, no questions asked. Yeah.
That wraps it up. Those are your FPBs for October the 31st. We had some good ones in there.
Yeah. Also, how cool is it that Dan Rather's birthday is Halloween?
I know.
Like, I like him even just a little bit more. The Exchange Club of Auburn extends a formal invitation to all veterans for a complimentary luncheon at the Green Ladle in recognition of your steadfast dedication and commitment to our nation. The event is Friday, November 8th at the Green Ladle on the campus of Lewiston High School. For more information, call John Reed at 777-3579.
Now we shift focus to the man of the hour. Justin Morin.
Oh my gosh. Hi.
That's me.
Hi, that's me. It's me.
So we're here to do some spooky, scary Halloween stuff and play some games,
play some games, learn a little bit about the theater. Are you still on the board for CLT?
Now the artistic director.
Oh my gosh.
At the theater. Yeah. So.
Justin was one of our first guests on the podcast.
Oh, and I was away, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was away.
Yeah. That's so for folks who don't know, Justin is heavily involved with the LA Community Little Theater.
I am,
and
yes.
As you mentioned, has a very prestigious role.
Yeah, this came about in September, and now with my co-director, we're just trying to curate a new season for our 86th season. So we're currently in our 85th, and that's already set in stone. But we're now trying to, again, curate that 86 season, really trying to bring people home to CLT. That's really our goal for the next few years.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the building?
Oh, sure. It's
haunted or not haunted?
Oh, 100%.
Totally haunted.
100%.
Yeah.
And like each room brings its own spirit, if you will. I know we have our costumer upstairs and she's like, yeah, the women's costume room, there's a ghost in there. You go in, that ghost will talk to you. And it's like, okay, don't tempt it.
don't tell it to.
Yeah, and it's just a very old building. It used to be an old school, and there's a story about there was a fire in the building, and then the teachers ended up sending kids in to retrieve all of the new typewriters in the building. So there's like a story about a fire. So
wow.
There's talks about like children haunting the halls of CLT. And then...
What? Honestly, I've been in there alone at night and in the dark, and it is this one of the spookiest feelings in like that third floor where costuming is. And actually, I've worked in props for a lot of shows, and that's in the basement.
In the basement, they say, is probably one of the scariest places.
So
we've had real ghost hunters come in to CLT, and they've mentioned like, oh yeah, there's a spirit here, there's a spirit there, but there's a malevolent one in the basement.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh great.
You just said that and I got shivers.
Great.
It's true. Like, I've been down in the basement in the prop room, and I've like gotten cold chills and been like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I cannot be in here anymore.
Isn't there like an old shower room or something?
Yeah.
In the basement.
Yes.
That our green room.
Because it used to be a locker room down there. And like,
okay. You want to go on a tour? It's really fun.
I do.
I believe we're
having some ghost hunters come in the next few weeks to actually do another thing. But okay, so the building flooded last year, right?
Yes.
This was during our production of Little Mermaid, and we had like a huge water, right? But we had this huge flood, like one of the pipes did something, and like I was there with Brandon, one of my friends who works for the theater as well, and we're in the basement trying to work with the flood, and we ended up stopping the water, but we came back upstairs, and we could still hear something downstairs, like walking around. Like it sounded like somebody was still down there in the water.
Oh, like, sloshing.
Sloshing. And I'm like, I'm not going down there again. Like, hire a professional.
This is above my pay grade.
Seriously. I was like, yeah, again, I was Ursula. I love the water, but this is too much.
I can't.
This is too much. So
it's funny because when we're doing productions and we're down there doing hair and costuming and makeup, there's so much positive energy that you don't really notice like the feeling of the heaviness. But it's when it's like as we're cleaning up, and because after we strike the set, we go through and we clean the whole green room and we put all the makeup away, make sure there's no trash and all of that. And when everything is empty and that energy level goes down, you can definitely, like, all of us are ready to just, like, get out of there.
Oh, and it doesn't help that a lot of the lights are on motion sensors.
Yes.
So it's like, you'll be, like, doing something and the lights will just go off and you'll hear somebody go, ah!
No!
No! So it's great. I love that building, though.
I do, too.
Like, I love being in it and, like, that energy. It's spooky, but it's also fun. Like,
yeah.
It's a great building because there's also so much creative energy in that building that I just feel like it all is working.
Yeah.
And so much character. You know, I don't know when it was built, but it's like, it's just got like all these little places where you're like, oh, this is fun. Oh, this is fun. You know, just neat little, like we have the top of one of the stairwells, there's a little tiny door.
There's like a little cutout door.
And you're like, where does that go? You open up the door and you look in, you can see the windows, like, almost floor-to-ceiling windows, and you look down, there's a full set of stairs that goes down into a room where we keep, like, soft goods. So, like, curtains, bedspreads, blankets, all that stuff is kept in this room. And it's like a cubby. It's the weirdest thing.
It's this little tiny Alice in Wonderland type door.
You're like, wait, this is a whole room behind a tiny little door. It's a neat little theater.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Pam, doing great things.
Pam, would you be into hanging out with the ghost hunters?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. The house I grew up in definitely had some type of spirit in it. I don't think it was dark or anything, but I definitely heard and felt things. Mm-hmm. My cat would stare at a staircase that was in between our living room, and we just called it the middle room. And I swear someone was sitting on the stairs just like looking over us into the living room because my cat would just stare back at it.
Oh, my God.
Well, they say in the same kids spot. And pets have
And I'm like, Clooney, what are you looking at? You know?
Right.
Hey. But yeah, when I was in middle school, my parents left early for work in the morning, and my brother was in high school, so he left earlier than I did. So I'd be by myself getting ready for school. And we had this shed that was attached, so it had a roof that was like halfway between the first and second floor. And the bathroom was kind of right next to it. And I was getting ready, and you could hear, like someone was walking on that roof. And I was like, what is happening? So, of course, I'm like 12, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I go to my kitchen drawer and grab a butcher knife. Like, what am I going to do?
Jamie Lee Curtis taught us that. Like, you need to do that.
Jamie Lee knew what was
up. She taught us that, right?
But I absolutely heard something. I'm like, there's no way I didn't just hear that. Mm-hmm. I go upstairs, absolutely nothing there. I literally walked through my entire house. I was like, I have no idea.
It was,
with your butcher
knife. 12-year-old girl with a butcher knife walking around my house. No one else there. And, you know, it's like 7 in the morning, too, right? Yeah. You know,
when
you were the original bride of Chucky. Yeah.
But there were some other people that experienced some things in my house. And I just started to accept it and just be like, oh, you know, that was whoever's here kind of thing.
Yeah. When I was a kid, a ghost stole my glasses.
How dare they?
For real. Did they just move them?
Nope.
They're gone.
They took them. We had, so my neighbors and my best friend as a kid, their house was 100% haunted. And I still have nightmares about this house. I spent a lot of time there as a kid, but I had put my glasses inside. They had a big dollhouse, like a floor to like 4 or 5 feet tall dollhouse with big rooms. Put my glasses in the dollhouse. And then we went to play. And when we came back, the glasses were gone. And not only did 4 children, but 4 adults tore that playroom apart, and not one of us could find my glasses. They were just gone.
The dolls took them.
The dolls took them.
Oh, my gosh. They took them.
Yeah. Still have nightmares about that house.
Oh, that's creepy.
It is creepy.
I love it.
I do, too. Justin, will you tell us a little? Can we play a little game about superstitions in the theater?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Do you guys know any of the superstitions?
No. I mean,
these are commonly, I don't know, like universal.
It's just like things. Even from a young age, like these are things that like you're taught as an actor coming into the theater. Like there are things that you can't say. There are things that you cannot do in the theater.
Yeah.
Because it'll bring bad luck to you, or the theater.
Like break a leg.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the only one I know.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Because there's something about wishing you well before a show that will bring you bad tidings, pretty much.
Wow. Yeah. So that's why you say break a leg instead of good luck. Yep. How about the play that shall not be named, the Scottish play?
Oh, yes. So Macbeth, the Shakespearean tragedy, is one that you are not supposed to say within the theater walls because it'll bring the spirits upon you. It'll bring bad luck to your show. It's just been throughout history that anytime that word has been spoken in the theater, things have happened.
Bad things happen.
Like people have died in the past and shows have been canceled and things like that. Coincidental or spooky?
Or
what is it?
What's another?
At the end of every performance before people leave for the night, every theater in New York, everywhere, they set something called a ghost light on the stage.
Yep.
It's this big, tall, almost like a lamp that has just one big light bulb in it that shines light to all the theater. They say it's for practical reasons. They say it's so that when you come into the theater, you can find your way to the stage.
Right.
But one would argue that it's for the spirits. It's so that the spirits have light to perform in.
Yes.
That's
the way I've heard it, too. Yeah. No whistling in the theater?
I completely forget about this, and I will whistle downstairs in the basement of the theater because I love the acoustics down there.
Yes, it's good acoustics.
Meanwhile, ghosts are following me in the theater now. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. So what happens if you whistle?
So the whistling comes from theaters hiring sailors to do the rigging for like curtains and, and other things. And so sailors, it's bad luck for sailors to whistle on a ship. So I think they probably brought that over to theaters.
Yep.
Like no whistling on the ship.
Yep.
No whistling in the theater.
Yeah. They also say you're not supposed to wear peacock feathers on the stage. Mm. They say that peacock feathers represent like the evil eye, and it will give the evil eye to your audience members.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Right?
That's like, why I never get into theater. There's so
don't
much
get into
remember.
Theater, apparently.
There's so many rules.
There's so many rules. Not even just human rules, spiritual rules, right?
Yeah.
The spirit world rules.
Yeah. There's one that I think is just a universal theater or not theater, and it's don't put your shoes on the table. And I don't know where that one came from either.
Don't put your shoes on the table.
Don't put your shoes
I
on
think
the table.
That's kind of a general rule.
Well,
general,
like, if you think about, like, we often are carrying, like, full costumes. So, and oftentimes it's a pair of, you'll have a pair of shoes in your costume. So your arms will be full and you'll set, like, I've done it. I've set my shoes on the table, you know, on the makeup table. And then I've been like, oh, no.
Put them down.
So they give us tote bins to put our stuff in most of the time because they just want all of everything in one place. But.
Yep.
Don't put your shoes on the table. Isn't that fun?
That is.
Yeah.
I never knew any of that.
Yeah. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. No and there's clue. Also a superstition that you never give flowers pre-show. You always give flowers post-show.
Okay.
Because
it's
like, again, you're wishing people, like you're congratulating people on a good job, even though.
Before.
And they also say like a bad dress rehearsal means a good first show.
Yep.
Like they say if your last rehearsal is a really bad rehearsal, your first show is going to be a good one. I've seen that happen before.
Like mess up during a dress rehearsal. Right? So
no, because you don't want to stress out your director.
You don't want to stress out the director because that's scary. That's the scarier than the spirits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do that. I think that's all I got.
I can't think of any others. That's it. But that's, I feel like that's a lot. Has Anna Halloran ever reached out to you guys?
Not yet.
Oh, she's a local ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's very cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and she's an actress, so.
What do you do or what does it take to be a ghost hunter?
That's a great question. I don't really know.
A jumpsuit. I think,
that's a Ghostbuster.
Oh, okay.
That's
sorry.
A Ghostbuster.
We want to get rid. That's getting rid of the ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
We want to keep them and talk to them.
Yeah, but speaking of Anna and speaking of ghosted, we were talking about Somerset Abbey earlier, and that place is for sure haunted. Like they have an Airbnb that they'll put the actors up in because the show wraps late, and you know it's way out there, so they put us up for the night, and I. Arrived one day, like the first, I think maybe the first time I ever did a show at the Abbey, I arrived first. There was no one else in the Airbnb where they let us set up to get our costumes and everything on. I opened the door and it was so clear to me that I was not alone. There were no other human beings in the building, but I was not alone.
Right.
And I opened up the door and like there was something inside of my body that was like,
yeah.
Oh, and then I just said, hi, like to no one.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, I'm here to do a show. I'm just going to put my stuff in here. And then I like put everything down and started getting ready. And then another person showed up and I was like, oh my God, thank God. But I think like maybe there's some people who it's just like, oh, it's there. Like they can tell, like you can walk into a room and be like, oh, yep. Okay. No, I'm not by myself in here.
So, I mean, this kind of seems a little obvious, but it was just a weird feeling. So I went to Bourbon and Beyond in Kentucky. It's a music festival. And my friends and I, we got an Airbnb. Previous to it being an Airbnb and like way previous, it used to be a crematorium.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Okay. That's a choice. Crematorium, Airbnb.
Yes. It's a natural progression.
That's where I would go.
That's where people go to rest.
Right in front of a cemetery. And we were all about, we were like, this is going to be so cool.
That's so spooky.
But we got in and, you know, there's just the living area and the kitchen. It was all one big area. And then you go downstairs and that's where the bedrooms and bathroom was.
Of course.
The stairs, there was a landing and you turned and you went down another set of stairs. You got on the landing and you turned to go down the second set of stairs and you, immediately the energy changed. Mm. I was like, whoa. You could just feel something. I was like, I'm getting chills just talking about it.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I slept like a baby. It was fine. Like
malevolence.
But no, there was, no malevolence.
Yeah.
That word caught me for a second. But but you could definitely feel the energy.
Yeah, definitely.
And Kentucky's old.
That's
There was some stuff around the city that was kind of like, but
neat.
But yeah, that place was neat. You could, like I said, definitely feel the energy. Yeah. Feel it.
Like it comes into your body, and you're like, oh, okay. Oh,
there it is.
Okay.
There it is.
I mean, it was a crematorium. It wasn't like people died
they
tragically.
Didn't die right. there. They just went there.
Yeah.
I wonder if like spirits attached to their body, and then like that happens, and they're like, oh, well. I'm here. I guess I'll just
here
hang.
Here we are.
I'm just hanging. Like, can you imagine, like, if you could see them, how crowded it would be?
Oh, some elbow room over here.
Oh, man, if we were alive, I'm taking up a lot of space. Oh. Just people elbow to elbow. How did you become such a horror movie fan and so into it?
I'm going to say this. I believe it's because I wasn't allowed to growing up.
Yep.
Like, I remember, okay, so this is a vivid, distinct memory, and my mom and dad will vouch for this. My dad had a friend that would always get, like, Disney releases early, and my dad got Nightmare Before Christmas on VHS.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yay.
It, like, you would play it, and it would say demo on it, right?
Oh, neat.
My mom took it and she chucked it into the garbage and said, not in my house.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. And so it all started with that.
And you're
right?
like, what is
and
it? Then, why can't I watch it?
It's like, why can't I watch it? And now I'm intrigued.
Right.
Now, all my life, now I'm seeking that, like, what is this macabre? What is this spooky that I'm missing out on that I didn't get? As a child, it's like, Mom, what, why? Why?
Give it back.
I'm kidding. But no, I just, it's always been something that is thrilling to me. Like, I try and put myself in those, like, spooky positions where it's like, oh, it's thundering and lightning out. Let's watch a scary movie, right?
He just drops what he's doing.
And it was really fun. My high school friends all were horror movie people as well. And so, like, every Friday night, we would go to a different person's house and we would watch something different. And so we watched all the classics. We started watching, like, more new age horror. It wasn't for us as much, but it brings such novel experiences to my life, like just doing all this kind of thing. And I don't know. I'm trying to seek that.
Yeah.
And like once you see a good horror movie, it's like, I need to top that. I need to keep going and figure out what's the next best horror movie.
Mm.
What's your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love a classic Halloween, right?
Oh,
like there's something, especially watching it as a younger kid, like watching the original Halloween, that there's just something so random about it that makes it that much spookier. But okay. Oh my God. That's a hard question. Horror movies are great. I love them.
Yeah.
That's the moral.
I grew up watching Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm. So good.
That was my first,
so
I think.
So good.
Right? Yeah, Nightmare.
So I went to a school called Elm Street School.
Great.
In Mechanic Falls, yeah. So it was like that connection, right? Like
yeah.
It was like, this is creepy because it could happen to us kind
of. I love that.
Freddy.
Especially with those movies, like I just feel like the further they kept going on, the campier it got.
Yeah.
Like at this point, it's not even about the horror anymore. It's about the like, oh.
How gross can we be?
That's gross. Oh, that's almost funny. Like, what?
Yeah. Or like Friday the 13th. It's like, how many times can we kill Jason and he still comes back?
Right.
How,
or Freddy for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Freddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes,
so campy.
Sometimes I'll be home with my partner and I'll just go, just because, like,
he's like, oh, stop it.
For some reason, like, that's so, like, the music from these horror movies sometimes they're just as epic as the movie itself.
Well, you hear it, and it's like, it's like it sets off a a little switch in your brain where you're like, oh, Like, I had a listening in my earbuds at work yesterday. I put on like a Halloween themed mix, like, they you can like choose a party mix, and that song came on, and I was like, oh, God, no. I'm kind of stressed out just sitting here listening to this song.
Exactly.
Like, it evokes like a certain feeling in you. Like, it's definitely part of the like whole piece, you know? Like, the music definitely plays a role in it. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
What's the last movie that scared you?
All right, I'm going to say this, and not a lot of people know this, but I have like such a fear of sharks. There's something about it. There's something like sharks scare me to no end. And I just watched a trailer for a movie on Netflix. I think it was a French film, too. But it was about sharks that were invading the river in France.
Oh.
And that these sharks had adapted to fresh water. And for some reason, that to me, like, stuck in my brain all day.
Nightmares. Yeah,
something, but all I kept doing was thinking about it. And, like, even now as an adult, I see a pool, and it doesn't have any light in it. And I'm like, there might be sharks.
There might be sharks.
There might be sharks.
And my favorite movie is Jaws.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
That's a horror film, right?
It is.
There's a monster.
The ocean itself.
The ocean itself is so scary. So maybe that's what I'm fearful of. The ocean and dark water.
Yeah, you should be.
Have you seen some of the real creatures?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, I'm good.
Do you know what I just saw the other day? And it's not scary. It's actually really funny. Is you know how octopi can disguise themselves and blend in with rocks? Yeah. They also just punch fish for no reason. And they saw a video of an octopi, like octopus, like up against a rock, and this fish just comes swinging. And the next thing you see is just its little arm, like, and it like punches the fish. And the fish
like, hell of a jab.
Funny, and it's like, man, the ocean is a crazy, crazy place. Octopus just like fish. Punching fish. Like, what's happening? Oh, yeah.
And so, funny. Yeah.
Fish is like, dude.
Why? Why didn't even do anything?
Dude.
Like, come
the light,
on.
The light was green.
He just punches him. So funny. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's a crazy place down there. We should be scared. You and I are both quite musical and big fans of music in all forms. So, and I know Mark and Pam are good with this stuff too. So I'm going to read you a description of what I would consider a Halloween related or witch related song. And I want you to tell me what the name is.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Ready?
I'm gonna try to guess it.
So this song was performed by Santana and originally written for Fleetwood Mac. It talks about a woman who uses her.
Do we just blurt out the?
You can just shout it out when you
black
know it.
Magic woman.
There it is.
Good job. Good Thanks. Job.
Yep.
I am not good at any of this.
Okay. This one is by Fleetwood Mac, about a wealth mythological feature, a goddess who features horses and enchantment and the moon, mystical, elusive woman capturing the ethereal nature and mysterious charm.
That's every Fleetwood Mac song.
Okay. I was going to say, that could be a couple.
Any guesses?
Gypsy?
Good guess.
I Seven Wonders?
Rhiannon.
Oh!
It's a song about a witch, you guys.
Rhiannon.
All right.
Yeah.
This one.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
This one is by the Eagles. It's a sultry melody with mythic.
Witchy woman.
There it is. I don't want to give you the name of this. Yeah, I can. So Donovan, a 1960 psychedelic era song, explores themes of transformation and the uncanny, and the lyrics suggest a time of change and upheaval where strange and mystical events occur.
I have nothing.
Oh, wait.
It might have witch in the title. No I
got,
guesses?
I got nothing.
Season of the Witch.
I do love that song.
I know.
I am not good at these.
No, apparently me either.
There's only two more. This one's a little older, by the Screamin' Jayhawks. Powerful blues track performed theatrically. It's about unrequited love, with the singer declaring that he has put a blank on the object of his desire to make them love him.
I put a spell on you.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine.
I always associate it with Hocus Pocus
with Hocus
now.
Pocus.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And this one is a tune by Frank Sinatra, using the metaphor to describe the irresistible allure and charm of a romantic partner.
It's New York.
No.
Witchcraft.
It's witchcraft.
Oh, here we go. I got one.
You did it. Yay.
That's good.
Those are fun.
That's like harder than like.
I know.
Yeah, that was hard.
It was. I tried to make them popular ones. There was a song by Radiohead, too, that I almost put in there, and I was like, God, there's no way.
That's a you song.
That's a new song. No one's going to know this one.
I have the top 10 scariest horror movies ever.
Ooh.
As rated by Rotten Tomatoes.
Ever.
Okay.
So we're going to go from 10 to 1, and okay. I just want you to give me your ranking
okay.
on how scary, right. how good the movie is. Okay. Or,
you're okay. like our resident
yeah.
oh my gosh. Yes.
professor
yes.
of,
Let's do it.
Of this.
Yeah.
Very excited about
Sorry, I'm I know. Wearing my horror movie pants.
He's,
right
we got to get a good picture of this guy later.
All right, number 10 is It.
Love both of them. The new one, the old one. Tim Curry, genius.
This
that
is
scarred
the
me as a kid. Like really? It was on TV one day, and I just started watching it, and I was like, "What is this mess? Like it is so
it's
good.
A mess.
It is so good." So, 10 out of 10.
I'm just going to assume you've seen all of these.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9, Insidious.
I did not jump on the Insidious train as hard as other people did. I thought the first one was really good. I thought they had a lot of jump scares. They had songs by Tiny Tim in it. So it was a little scary.
Yeah, like Tiny just having Tim's that, like, scary.
Right? Having that with the Ooh. Things like that. So, yes, that was a good one. All I'd right. probably say like a 6 out of 10.
Okay. Number 8 is Sinister.
Love. Because I always associate Insidious with Sinister. The thing about the Sinister ones is that it's a lot of found footage within it. Mm. So it's like somebody videotaped it with like a camcorder. Mm-hmm. And so a quarter of the movie is like that. And then it goes back to real life. Spooky. 10 out of 10. Love it.
Like a Blair Witchy kind of thing?
With children. With little children.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really good.
Ooh. Children are great.
I know they are.
Number 7, the original Halloween.
Love.
Yeah.
11 out of 10. Everything about it, the music, the nostalgia of it, just.
Number 6, The Ring.
Okay, so I was in 8th grade when that movie came out, and like that was the movie of the year. Like I just have such vivid memories of being with my friends, seeing that movie, and then watching that girl come out of the TV. So good. No. It's so good. And it's actually based off a Japanese horror film. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's, it translated so well. Like, it was such a good movie. I'm going to give that one an 8 out of 10 for me. All right, not a 10, but an 8.
Movie number 5 came out in 1974, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh.
Love. The reason, I'm going to say that about all of them. I think the reason that I like that one is because it is all practical effects. Yeah. Like everything in that movie was done on a stage or on set. And so it's crazy what like the special effects makeup people can do. And like there's a lot of TV shows now where you can actually learn about that. And like the things people can do now with like latex and silicone and stuff like that. It's crazy. So the reason I like that movie is because of the thing at the beginning where it's like, this happened in Texas. Yes. And so people thought it was a real event. Yeah. And I think that hysteria just caused the movie to be that much scarier.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't alive when it came out, but watching it for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, this is real?
Yeah.
What?
See, that's how I felt the first time I saw Blair Witch. I thought it was real. Yep. And I was like, I am never walking into the woods ever again.
No, we're in Maine. Why go in the woods? Why? There's witches.
No,
right.
There's witches.
Have Sarah and Pam, have you guys seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I couldn't possibly, no.
I'm sure I have. I just don't remember much
of it.
Blocked
it out, probably. Yeah.
Don't go to the desert.
Don't go to the desert. Yeah. I will never.
All right. Number 4, The Shining.
Oh.
So my partner and I were actually just talking about going to Colorado to stay in the real hotel that it was based off of. Because that's what Stephen King did. He went to this hotel and was just like, wow, this is creepy. It's isolated and things like that. So why not create a story all about isolation and the madness that happens when you are by yourself?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Question for you. Have you read The Shining?
Yes, I did.
And a standalone, Stanley Kubrick created The Shining.
Yeah.
Almost...
It's very different.
Almost nothing like the book.
Stephen King one actually involves a lot more, I don't want to say magic, but like more like he sees the hedges like growing and turning into different shapes within the book. But in the movie, you don't really see that. You see more of the psychosis happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You see more of that transformation from normal to something's changed, something snapped in this man's brain.
That's something Kubrick was very good at.
Yes.
Yeah.
That tension. He's very good at creating tension.
Yeah.
And so it's a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
I do too.
Number 3, The Conjuring.
Okay. Okay. Are you ready for this? Okay. Are you ready for this? So I grew up in Rhode Island. Okay. I was born and raised in Rhode Island. And The Conjuring House is actually based on a house in Harrisville, Rhode Island. And I did theater maybe a mile and a half away from that very house that it's based off of. So for me, I have like ties to it in a way. Like I've never seen the house. I've never gone towards it. But like, I'm like, I was almost there.
I was almost there.
And so I just, I think it's a great horror film. I think it involves all the aspects of horror that people like. Yeah. Lots of jump scares, has kids, yeah. It's got possession, so...
all the good stuff.
All the good stuff we want in a horror film.
That's
so,
one of my son's favorites, too.
It's a good one.
The Conjuring. Yeah.
And I think a couple from Maine bought that house.
Oh, probably.
If I remember correctly. Think so.
Yeah. Probably.
Number two, Hereditary.
Hereditary. Okay, I'm going to tell you where I saw this one, okay? So I lived in New York City for 10 years, and one day I'm walking by the movie theater, I'm like, I'm going to go see a movie. So I bought McDonald's, and I went to see Hereditary at 9:40 in the morning in the Times Square movie theater. I was by myself. I like that one because it's a slow burn, and you really have to pay attention to that one. So, like, that's not a party movie. That's a movie that you sit down and you need to watch it. And there's just lots of things. The reason I like that one is because watching it one time is not enough. You have to keep watching it to find the layers to it. It's good.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
Okay.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, the scariest horror movie ever. The Exorcist.
Oh. I almost wore my Exorcist shirt today, too.
No.
Sarah's having a reaction.
No.
And you know what? That's what they want right there. That's what the filmmakers want. When.
Yeah, and here we are 51 years later.
God.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, Sarah, are you okay?
No, I can't get the images.
And that's why
out
I like it,
brain.
Because it can elicit that kind of response in people. And I think there's just something about demonic possession that just freaks people out.
Yeah.
Like that idea that that can be something that happens to you. Like that's a real thing that happens within the church, right? Like, I've never seen it, but...
In real life,
I've
you
heard
mean.
That it's yeah. In real life,
for 1973, the effects were spectacular.
The effects were spectacular.
Yeah.
I remember camping with my family, and they let me bring one book, and the book that I brought was like how they made movies, and I just kept rereading the Exorcist chapter, talking about how like when she vomits, she had to do that take like so many times, and it was pea soup. That's what it was. That's what that green was, and she just. Vividly remembers like how much pea soup she had to use in order to make that happen. Yeah. So
I read something the other day that she actually fractured her back, like flailing on that bed, like doing that.
A lot of creepy things happened on that.
I was like, what?
Yep.
I have to wonder, like, she was quite young. Linda Blair was quite young when they made that movie. I have to wonder what sorts of things were put into place to protect her poor little brain from the effects of the content of this movie.
You know, I
would think nothing.
Almost, they would do something. Right. In the 70s, I wonder if they did anything at all for her. Like,
I
feel like that
research.
A lot of PTSD from... some of the content of that
They just
movie.
Did a remake of, like, the 1971 in, like, 2 years ago or something. And then the original mom, Ellen Burstyn, was featured in this movie again.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, let's do another one with Linda Blair. Come on, bring her back.
Probably like, no, thank you.
Linda Blair's like, I'm living my best life.
I already got my check. I'm done. I'm out.
Do this
out.
Again. No,
no
thank
more.
You.
So, oh, my goodness. No. Yeah. So what do you think of the list?
Pretty That's good? Actually a really good list.
All right.
So it's not like the best horror movies of all time. It's the scariest.
That's what...
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
That was it. The scariest horror movies ever. Justin,
I love
this has been so much fun.
No, this is great.
Thank you so much
Let's
for
do it every
in.
Day. Horror movie every day.
You're one of the people that we invited to be our wacky neighbor when we were over at our other place.
Oh.
So.
And I felt the wacky.
We have you stop by anytime.
And as a token of our appreciation, we'd like to invite you to stay for Tasting Tales. From Rupert's Beverage and Redemption.
So our friends over at Rupert's have provided us with Baxter Brewing's Lewiston Strong Lager, which is just, if you see it in the stores, it's just a beautiful can. It's fantastic. Mainers are no stranger to times that demand strength and resilience, but no matter how strong we are individually, we also know that we're always stronger and better together. Baxter Brewing and their partners at Anchor honor our community's perseverance and the outpouring of love and support that's followed. Proceeds from Lewiston Strong, this beer from Baxter, will benefit the Maine Resiliency Center. As our community continues to heal from last October's tragic events, there is a QR code on the can where you can learn more about the Maine Resiliency Center and its mission to provide free community connection, support, and resources to those impacted by the tragedy.
It's 4% ABV, available in 16-ounce single cans and 4-packs.
It's beautiful. Give it a crack.
Oh, that was a good crack.
That's a good one. Yes. That was a good one. I love the idea of this, that this is something that, you know, we can all stand behind and enjoy a local brewery for one and support a local business for another, but then also to be able to support the Maine Resiliency Center, which has been doing great work for the last year, helping to provide support for those impacted by last year's tragedies.
Absolutely.
Right. Cheers to them.
Cheers.
Here we go.
All right.
I'm going to smell it. Ooh.
Mmm.
Tastes like a lager.
It's a nice, smooth little lager,
I like it.
It's a quaffable beer.
Ooh, quaffable.
Quaffable.
I like that.
Pam, quaffable. I'm going to need some explanation on that.
talk about quaffable, please.
Justin, every week I get an education.
I love it.
I feel like Pam is hiding another side of her. There's something that we don't know.
So quaffable is it's something that you can drink over and over again.
Oh.
So when you have a quaffable wine, it's something that you're drinking very socially, and you can just keep drinking and drinking and drinking. A sipper is, you know, something that you're just going to take tiny sips of, and you can't drink a lot of. So this being at 4%, smooth, light, it's something that you can drink more of.
It's crispy.
It is.
I like it.
I like crisp.
Crispy and quaffable.
Perfect for the season.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a nice beer. I like it.
Tastes like something you could be walking around a corn maze with, drinking, you know.
Yep. Eating an apple.
Carving some pumpkins.
Having a pumpkin. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys did some haunted walks at CLT, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Did you let people walk around with beer?
Not yet. We're trying to get our liquor license by little.
Yeah,
but that's
a
big hurdle for us that we have to overcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a haunted walk. We walked around Lewiston and Auburn and just told ghost stories from around the city.
I love that. And
CLT has got some great ideas.
We have a new president and she's amazing. She has really good ideas and good energy that's inspiring everybody to be creative and think outside of the box.
So. Yeah. Did you do that just once or did you do it a few times?
So we did two nights of it and we had like every 15 minutes there was a time slot up until 9:30, 10 o'clock. And so each group had between like 5 to 10 people or 15 people with us and we would just lure them. We just walk them around the main street in Auburn. We would bring them along the river walk. We brought them across the little footbridge linking Lewiston and Auburn. We talked about the mills. And then brought him back to CLT, the spookiest place in
Lewiston, Auburn.
We will argue one of the spookiest places in Maine.
It's pretty spooky.
Yeah.
As discussed in previous parts
of
this episode.
Segments, yes.
Well, who was your character?
So I played a man named Holman Francis Day. He's just a he's a man from, he was born in 1865. He died in 1925. He was a man that wrote lots of poems. He actually wrote a song for Irving Berlin called Along Came Ruth. He's just a man that's done a lot of writing. He was an actor in Hollywood for 20 years. And
what was his connection to Lewiston Auburn? Because that, or Maine?
He was an editor for the, it wasn't the Sun Journal back then. It was something else with the word sun in it. But
the local
he was,
paper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for one of the local papers. So just, it's been around.
Yeah.
Or wasn't around. So all the characters had either some tie to Maine or some tie to Lewiston or Auburn. It was a lot of fun. It was really spooky. quaffable.
Still enjoying our Lewiston Strong Lager here.
Marks is gone.
So quaffable.
I know.
Marks, like, I'm done.
That's what they call it in the biz, Sarah.
Quaffable. I know. I feel like there's a side of Pam that we don't know about.
Pam knows all about the biz.
There's probably a few sides.
I know. She's a mystery.
On next week's Tasting Tales, getting to know Pam.
If we do these Tasting Tales, let's say on an evening time,
we'll be able to
find out a little bit more. But in the morning,
we can record anytime.
we want to
do Tasting Tales.
We are portable.
Hey, can I come for that one?
Yeah,
absolutely. I love tasting anything. So.
11. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us.
I don't know. Is there any more in that can?
Yeah.
All right.
Pam brought the can in, and I'm looking at it, and
it's like the
4%.
Orange juice of beers.
Sarah's not
going to
like that.
4%, right.
The orange juice of beers.
Have you ever had a beer-mosa before?
I,
I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
Oh, so you just take really cheap beer. The cheaper, the better.
Like
just
light,
mix it with orange juice. Oh. Yeah.
A beer mosa?
A beer mosa.
Yes,
we used to do it in. We used to do it in New York City. We would get Dunkin' cups and put some beer in it and
some
OJ. And then we would go watch like the parade. Like,
nice.
Yeah, yeah, on like Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Cute.
This would be a great Thanksgiving day.
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
Because it's so quaffable. You could just drink all...
Well, people
got
to get their four packs now then.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not filling.
No, it's not filling. It's nice and light. It's a great breakfast beer, if I do say.
We're going to put that on the can right there. Sarah recommends it with breakfast.
With breakfast. This would be great with an Eggs Benedict.
You know what? A lot of things would be good with Eggs Benedict.
It's true, it's true.
Come on. Yum.
I love a good Benny and beer.
All part of a balanced breakfast.
Never a bad time with our Rupert's tasting tales.
No. It's always
go
fun.
Grab your Lewiston Strong 4-pack today.
Yep. I just made a stop over there. I got the Lady Squatch.
Mm-hmm.
That's been hogging up some space in my fridge.
There's a beer called Lady Squatch.
It's a seltzer. It's a seltzer. Blueberry lemon seltzer. It's really good.
That sounds good.
Your whole demeanor is changing.
The title is very fun.
I went out and grabbed some Lady Squatch.
Mark, it doesn't seem that the 4% has been any lighter for Sarah than
that is correct.
I'm just having a good time, guys.
And we appreciate you having a good time with
us.
It's wonderful.
Did we mention that Sarah's a farmer today?
I have a hat and everything, but my headphones and my hat didn't work out. So
yeah.
I'll put the hat down over there. I'll put it on for the picture.
I asked if that was your tater picking outfit.
Yeah, it's not, though.
Because of how you grew up. You grew up north.
Yep. North.
Picking taters.
Yes, picking potatoes. It's the season's over at this point. Like,
okay.
But I said to you when you said that, I would have had to have like 4 more wool sweaters for that to have been my potato picking outfit, because it was like 30 degrees in the morning and 70 in the afternoon.
Oh.
And we would pick potatoes. Like when I was little, we'd pick potatoes. But as we got older and we're working harvesters, we would work until after dark because there's lights on harvesters. So we would get up before the sun would come up and we would work till the sun went down.
Damn, girl. No wonder why you moved.
I was going to say.
People wonder where I get my work ethic and my drive to continuously be moving and doing things. And I honestly believe that this is just something that comes out of county kids. Like, that's just how we are.
Potato farmer.
Yeah, this is how we are. Can't help it. Deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
Nothing deeply ingrained. We drink beer at 7:30 in the morning.
I mean, who doesn't?
That was my breakfast. My mom crack a lager open and be like, all right, have a good day picking potatoes.
And Sarah's like, 4%.
4%.
Come on, Mom. Have you seen
cold.
That field?
It's cold out there. I need at least a 9.
I need some angel's
wing.
9.
Oh.
Damn. Oh.
Oh. I've got some hair on your chest over there.
Strong. Then some Eggs Benedict.
Up north, you shave your chest with a weed whacker. Well, I guess that's going to do it.
I think that's it for us.
And that's it.
That's a wrap.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks to our sponsors, Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam. She's right there.
Right here.
She's
via
here.
Email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. Justin, I can't thank you enough for getting out of bed early and spending your mornings
with us. Thanks for having me.
So
this was
so
great.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Stay spooky.
There's a lot of content here for today, I think.
Yes. I think we're probably going to use all of it.
Yay! Yes. Justin's longest episode ever.
The longest episode of Lydia's Lunch Bunch ever.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Halloween.
Do the spooky laugh one more time. Yeah.
Can't top that.
Nope.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a crazy place down there. We should be scared.